Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words News Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men of Police and Fire Service, and men and women on the fight first line defenders against COVID. We appreciate everything all of you do for each and every one of us, each and every day. Tonight, we want to start the program with a homegrown boy, Thomas Cornflake LaMotta from Millville, New Jersey, is going against one of Ty's favorites, Ursula de Laura. What do you think, Z?
Ursula de Laura, he's getting a little older. But, I mean, he's still effective. Right about now, he used to be a guy who kind of danced around you, heavily left-handed. He's a southpaw. Pretty good jab, but he's heavily left-handed dependent. He was a guy like that. Kind of slick and very, very smart. But lately he's getting older and he's been fighting more in the pocket. And he's been successful. He's been very successful at keeping his tight guard and, you know, pretty good counter punches, combination punching.
You know, at one point, LaMotta was actually working out of Peltz Stadium, a stable rather, and then all of a sudden his father and he and his mother got into a contractual problem with Peltz, and they decided they were going to do everything on their own. You know, at least when he was with Peltz, he got some decent boxing, he got some decent venues. But lately, he's been doing an awful lot of his fights. In fact, tonight is out of a bar in Mexico. So I don't know if that was a good a business move on his part or not. But and he really hasn't had, you know, this is the first name, real name fighter. And as you pointed out, he's been around a long time. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one works out.
Well, promotionally,
go ahead.
No, promotionally, if he's getting a fight with Arislan De Lura, a name, he's, something's going right.
Yeah, I gotta say that. It just doesn't make sense to me that he has to go all the way to if you live in Millville, you have to go all the way to Mexico to have a fight. Is it maybe the rules aren't as difficult to get a license in Mexico, and or not as expensive, you know, than it would be in Philadelphia or Atlantic City or Vegas or any of that? I'm not really sure. But, you know, there was a – I don't know. Do you remember – you're probably too young to remember Gilligan's Island?
Yeah. I love Gilligan's Island.
Oh, well, you'll love the skipper. The skipper's here with us tonight. He's just coming in from his yacht. Hello, Skipper.
What's up, fellas?
How's it going, Bob?
We're still on the boat. They're docking us now. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We just had to have something to start the show off with a little levity here.
Yeah. Well, I'd be more like Gilligan than the Skipper, I tell you. You know?
That's right. You moved up to the 25, didn't you?
Yeah, up to the 25. Actually, we're doing a test today on the 27th, so it's a big boat.
Whoa. So there won't be a...
we're doing our navigation
There won't
test.
Be a vertical... Oh, good. There won't be a vertical stripe going down the side of the boat now?
No. Cowboy pinstriping with my tooth fit, you know.
Wow.
It's all that cowboy pinstriping.
Hey, I want to ask you something. Have you seen the purse for the Fury Joshua fight?
No, I didn't see the purse.
$75 million.
Yeah.
Now, Bob, would you like to get back into the ring now?
I'll do it tomorrow. Tonight. I got nothing going on tonight. $75 million. I'll drive to Australia.
Sure.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, my God. But, you had some pretty good fights last week, Bob. With
OMG.
Bob.
Yeah, I mean, what? Bob. Yeah, if you guys haven't, anybody hasn't seen the card from last week, it's just like, you know, to keep it radio etiquette, it'd be like, holy monkey nuts. You know what I mean? It was crazy. It was, man, we had, it was a day for legs. I mean, leg lock submissions, head kick knockouts, and then a snapperooski. The crazy part, if anybody hasn't seen it. So let's back up a few years back. It really made TV. Anderson Silva, the Spider, broke his shin throwing an inside leg kick against Chris Weidman. And that was kind of the downfall of Spider's career, as phenomenal as he was. And then going forward in the saga, Uriah Hall's first loss was against Chris Weidman. So Chris Weidman was, you know, to be reckoned with. Well, then later Anderson Silva fought Uriah Hall, and that was pretty much his retirement fight. We talked about that about, you know, 4 months ago or so. And then they just put Uriah Hall against Chris Weidman. He walked out first strike of the game. He threw an outside right leg kick. It hit wrong, and he snapped his tib fib right in the half. If you look at the slow-mos, Anderson back in the day, it's almost like he knew, he felt it. But Weidman had no idea till he stepped back and got that chicken rubber chicken leg. And it's gross if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That card, I'm not going to even lie. That card, I shouted, I said, Bob, just because I knew Bob. I mean, the whole card, I was like, Bob.
That was just it, too. I was screaming. My wife was on a business call, and I'm just screaming at the television all night long, you know. And I couldn't help it. I mean, there was some amazing stuff. And then, you know, three championship bouts to finish it off. I mean, you had the Weidman, Uriah Hall was before even the championship fights. And then the champion fights, you got, I'm brain farting his name. She went out against Jessica Andrade. She's one of my favorite.
I forget her name, too.
Yeah, I'm brain farting right now. But anyway, complete domination. Everyone thought she had a chance on the ground. Yeah. Yeah, and sorry, they're docking the boat right now. You know, skipper duties. And but yeah, it's complete domination in that championship event. Then it went on to Valentina Shevchenko. Yeah, she dominated.
Yeah.
And then going on to the next fight, you had that first Chinese champion, and she was getting not Michelle, but I can't remember her first name, but Wheelie or something, and she was a badass chick. And then she got paired up against I don't have my notes in front of me. I'm on the boat. But anyway. She got dominated. It was Rose Namajunas. And Rose doesn't look tough, but man, she went out there and just dominated her, which was amazing. And no one thought that. So she's and the new champion of that division. Then you go further on, and then we had Jorge Masvidal, one of our favorites, up against Usman, who is a bad man. And Jorge, my complaints there is he started clowning. He was trying to play the tough guy role, and he got socked him out. So that going off to all the people out there, if you're going to, compete professionally, don't be clowning in the ring. Just poor sportsmanship. And then it looks even better if you get knocked out. So what a fantastic card.
Yeah, absolutely. And Namajunas set Wheelie up perfectly with that face kick. She fainted down, and her whole direction went downward. Her eyes went down, her whole motion went down, except for her foot. And if you look, Wheelie moved her arm, right out of the way, right out of the way for her face to get hit.
Right.
I mean, that was a perfect setup.
Drop that arm, open that chin up. We were just talking about that last week at practice. You got to keep that arm up and defend that, because those kicks are a lot longer than you think. And boom, she placed that foot, shin, right at the tip of her chin, and she was sleeping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Valentina, I like Valentina. She more or less wrestled. Yeah. I mean, she wrestled a wrestler. And kind of just rubbed her out, got her in a crucifix and rubbed her out. That was, a very impressive performance. And
it was
Masvidal, as you said, I think he's got a really quick a Nate Diaz complex real fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was in there. He was moving around. He was getting caught a little bit. He was getting time, and it looked like he was kind of getting tired, not maybe cardio tired, kind of mentally tired. And he put his hands down, and he's trying to be flipping. That was impressive. None of the fights did it.
None of them went the distance. None and that's the kind of stuff I pay for, what I mean? When I'm seeing knockouts and submissions, and then, at $69.99, I'm like, damn, worth every penny. But when they all go to the distance, it's just, come on, you know?
Yeah. Hey, let me ask both of you a question. And you got, I know John Jones is, it wants to fight Francis Ngannou. Okay, let's go with Z first. What do you think the outcome on that would be?
I do not believe in tune-up fights in the UFC just because that's dangerous. But with John Jones moving up to heavyweight, I would not suggest his first fight be Francis Ngannou. I think he would need to just to get used to fighting at. Now you could train and you know you could spar at that weight, but the actual fight is no. He needs to fight a true heavyweight at heavyweight. But if they've matched up now, John Jones is smart. He's extremely smart, and. And Ngannou has proven to be, he's pretty smart, too. Conditioning. If John Jones can last, if it goes five rounds, Jones wins. Just simple as that. I mean, as far as gas tank, I've seen Ngannou tire. I've seen him tire more than one.
The judges will get in there if it goes five rounds, too,
Definitely.
Everyone wants Jones to win. I want to see him, Ngannou, knock him out, but we'll see.
You think that could happen?
I mean, it could. Ngannou's got that power. He got CP, It could very well happen. But the thing is, John Jones, just like Z said, John Jones got, there's a lot of different things, conditioning, skill, but ring experience, too, and how to work that ring and cage. And how to adjust on the fly. John Jones is in there. He's thinking. A lot of times when you're fighting stuff, you want it to be a reaction, reaction drill. If somebody hits you here, you just fire. You know exactly where it's supposed to go because you've done it 10,000 times. But, there's sometimes, if you go at somebody, you bring your A game, say if I'm a wrestler and he's a kickboxer and I try to take it to the ground and he's good there, well, I have to switch. I have to change up.
Yeah.
Or if he's good on the inside as far as fighting and the clinch and against the ropes or the cage, then I want to separate and make my distance. I never want to fight somebody where they're good. And John Jones is really well-rounded, and he can switch tactics where a lot of guys, they can't. They're just stuck on one path. Mm-hmm. They just got one style of fight, and they can't really adjust that well. And Jones will bring it. You'll see him go from a range striker. He's throwing his punches and kicks and working that leg, doing that front kick to that leg and just annoying people. And when he's doing that, he's setting stuff up. He's seeing for the reaction of when he throws that. He's not seeing the damage. He don't care. He's seeing what you're doing when he's throwing that. Because eventually after three, four, five of those, he knows exactly what you're going to do next, and he counters that. So he's setting those patterns to break those patterns and then recognizing patterns to counter patterns, which is really smart to do.
Mm-hmm. John Jones is probably the best UFC fighter that I've seen at setting his own pace. I've seen him just slow a fight down on purpose. Like him against Rashad. Rashad is a high – he's a high volume fighter for the most part. He's trying to get in there. He could wrestle. But he's trying to. He's a high contact guy. And
he needs some muscle.
He settled Rashad down. As far as that goes, he slowed the fight down and just picked him apart. With a guy like Rampage, he wrestled him. John Jones. He's a guy, and just as you said, Bob. He's good, kind of everywhere. And a guy like that who's good everywhere and can adjust, that's a problem. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. But then, again, the heavier you get, now that burns your cardio also. So, can if he fights Ngannou, can Ngannou put his weight on Jones? Can he, wrestle with him? Because it's different wrestling this guy, a light heavyweight compared to a heavyweight. As simple as that. The weight difference, John Jones, especially an aggressive guy.
Mm-hmm. Bob, I wanted to say something to you, too. Dana White must have not only have a bunch of money, But he must have some pretty damn good smarts, because he got not only did he get Florida to open up to MMA in his first fight this last week when they had their bouts in Jacksonville, they turned out 15,259 people. Up in, on the stage for the introductions was the governor. He doesn't get involved in anything. So,
right?
You know, he must yeah, it's
we've been talking about that the whole year, though. I mean, the whole COVID thing, how Dana has been jockeying and positioning. I mean, what a brilliant guy. I mean, you know, he threw the sport in front of people when there's no other live sports, you know, so he picked up a bunch of fans there. You know, and then he's the first one to start putting people back in the stands. I mean, he's even getting accolades on Fox News and stuff. People are talking about it, you know, on the news.
Yeah.
Like, hey, props to Dana White for getting, you know, and Dana's going publicly saying, hey, mask or no mask, let's get back to normal. You know what I mean? Like, we're over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got enough herd immunity. I mean, more people are getting shots. Even California, we're out in California. California is one of the most stringent. But now they're starting to say, as long as you're outside, you got your vaccine. It's the mask, man. Stay 6 feet apart if you don't know them or whatever. But, you know, I mean, before COVID, I'd stay 6 feet apart from people. I don't like people.
Sure.
But anyway, you know. But, yeah, so, I mean, Dana has just been jockeying one step above the other on everything, and he got in there. So that is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up for both of you was that Pat Sabatini last week had the crowd standing up singing USA as he fought Tristan Connolly. The crowd really got behind him, so I guess that really propelled him to his win.
Did you get the
was,
out of there?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Did you guys hear the chants at the UFC though? F Jake Paul. F. Jake Paul. That was fantastic. The whole crowd was
right there.
Yeah, right in the front row. And him, Cormier, you know, and again, you guys heard me complain about DC before not being the best, but now DC just jumped up like 10 ranks in the division, you know, on my favorite person scale, because he called out Jake Paul right there in the stands. You know, like, you need to just go away.
He stepped to him and told him, he smacked the S out of him. He doesn't play those games or something like that.
Yeah. He's coming from D.C., it's going to happen, too. But then I hear, you know, in the rumor mill that, you know, his brother just signed against Mayweather. So I hope Mayweather puts a punishment on that guy if that's for real.
Yeah, it is for real.
I don't know. It is for real.
They had they were carrying on the boxing news, not boxing 24 this week. They were talking about they thought they were going to go to Dubai, but Dubai didn't come up with enough money, so I guess they're going to Vegas.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
You know, and then Jake Paul's trying to offer Usman stuff. You know, Dana White's just over the Jake Paul experience. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Z, what do you think about tonight's fight? Other than the Laura fight, but the Mr. Areola's fight.
Oh, Areola, he's fighting.
Bob's favorite fighter.
You said Areola.
He's fighting. Man, my brain is going somewhere. He's fighting the guy who knocked Joshua out and then lost him.
Right.
Ruiz. Yeah, Areola
Ruiz,
and Ruiz.
Andy Ruiz.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a fight where it's going to be rare. It's going to be rare for somebody to get on the back foot, and depending, it could either be a boring fight that lasts forever, or it could really be a quick fight. Meaning that, depending the conditioning of either one, because both fighters are really capable of coming in non-conditioned at all. I mean, just that they're ready mentality, that they're ready to bang, they're ready to fight. There's no problem with that. As far as their just fighting condition, they have their moment. With that said, if they both come in conditioned and ready to fight, I would pick Ruiz. I would pick Ruiz 10 times out of 10. Simple as this.
You know,
Ruiz is tighter in his form. He's more, he's more established as far as just technically established than Ariola, and he's more defensively aware.
Ruiz dropped a lot of weight, but he's still coming in with a 28 pound difference. Of course, we found out that didn't mean anything last week when there was a two weeks ago with Stevie. You know, Stevie was in condition. Stevie was ready to go. By the way, so you guys will know, right after the show, I did a number count, and that show we got 267,215 listeners worldwide.
So, wonderful.
Yep. Stevie brought us a lot. We had a great show with Bernard and Stevie, and even the personal stuff that they shared was great.
Stevie's he's a guy who's keeping it positive. But he's had some hard things going on in boxing. Just the road to boxing, he has some unfair shakes.
Right. Yeah, the out of the ring, he's had some heartbreak with his daughter. She was born, and now she had problems at birth with the lack of oxygen, and they had some major problems afterwards, but she's somewhat delayed, but she's making strides. I talked to Stevie about that on this last Wednesday. We were talking about something else, and he was saying, how grateful he is for everybody to have remembered her and everybody to ask questions about her. That she was doing. He wanted everybody to know that she's doing well. So we get all right. Here we go, Steve. Manny Pacquiao and Crawford, that deal's dead. Do you have any idea on that?
I don't see how they could do any deal like that. That deal is their warring promotion company, which to me doesn't make any sense. They're holding money back from themselves, literally. Sports suffers because of the greed. If they come together, they're going to make more than they're putting in. It's as simple as that. They're going to make a profit.
Right.
They're nickel and diming each other, and that's just the business of boxing at this point. There's certain things good about different promotion companies, but there's also, bad things. Just like with the UFC, there are certain good things about having, kind of one, circular control over things. But, you have good and bad about that. At least, like in the UFC, at least you're going to have, for the most part, the best fighting the best. You have one champion. Literally, with weight divisions, you have one champion in the UFC. In boxing, it's spread really thin right about now. They have a champion, the champion of who has the highest boots. It's crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but also, see, I want to jump on that. I think that has a lot to do with the exorbitant amount of money on the boxing side versus UFC, because you got the different organizations with their own separate sponsors. They're all kicking in money to try to make that specific organization the top one, and it rises the competition or the money value, I think, versus the UFC is the dominant thing. Bellator and those guys can't compete with them, so they can't raise the fighter pay, and that's just kind of my theory on it. You know what I mean? Because Dana's bringing in his money from pay-per-views, Adidas. He's got a few sponsors, and that's it. There's no other sponsors trying to outpay those guys, for another organization. So I think that's part of the problem, is we don't have that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Z, what do you think about Demetrius Andrade versus Chris Eubanks? That's a possibility for the first part of the year.
I would like to see that. I would really, really like to see that. Demetrius Andre has all the tools in the box to really make Chris Eubank look foolish to me. Just because he's long and he uses his feet. And Chris Eubanks, I mean, he's an aggressive fighter, but he needs you to be right in front of him. And he's not, his feet aren't exactly adept to, you know, I'm going to say, stalking as much as he can, as his punch arsenal has. If he can move his feet within range, you know, for the most part, he's really a steady foot guy. But if he can, you know, just move his feet within range, he would be a much better fighter. With that said, Chris Eubanks has all the physical tools to make Andre uncomfortable and not punch and try to hold and just kind of, you know, not fight. And kind of in a reminder of the way Andre Durrell fought, or Anthony Durrell, which one? Andre Durrell fought Carl Froch. When you have a guy kind of looking just unsteady, no, I mean, he's awkward, but awkward and unsteady, you know, they're two different things. And from the last fight, you know, I just saw Andre's fight against William. I mean, he looked really unsteady. And William, you know, to me, is a lighter and a less caliber fighter than Eubank, who's 168. I mean, he'll go to middleweight, but, I mean, I just didn't think that that's a fight that Andre would lose on points just because he couldn't be aggressive. He couldn't go anywhere near Eubanks without, you know, having trouble. So, yeah.
Okay. How about now? Another one that keeps cropping up is Canelo Alvarez keeps saying that, you know, Golovkin is running away from him all the time, doesn't want to fight him. Do you see that happening?
Well, Canelo has to handle Billy Joe Saunders first, and we'll see how that goes, just because Billy Joe Saunders poses problems for Canelo. But as far as Golovkin goes, it depends. I mean, Golovkin's kind of fading out the picture to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really fought a really big name ever since Derevchenko, if I'm correct. But, I mean, he's getting older, and Golovkin's not a young guy anymore. So as far as Canelo, I think Canelo, he's staying at 168. He's looking to fight Billy Joe Saunders, and then potentially maybe like a Caleb Plant. I would like to see Canelo fight Benavidez, to be honest. I think that would be a very,
really?
Very interesting fight.
Excuse me. Bob, do you have anything on for tonight that you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, I don't have any. Like I said, the class ran late. I don't have any notes in front of me. But I did see an article. I can't remember who's fighting. It's one of our top boxer guys. But he's saying if somebody goes past the sixth round, he'll just quit. Like, I can't remember who that was. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No,
yeah, I can't remember who it was. But he's like, he's got no chance against me. If he makes it past the sixth, I'll just quit.
Wow.
But
is that Chisora? Do you think that would be Chisora? See?
Yeah, I can't remember what I saw.
Yeah. Because tonight is Derek Chisora and Joseph Parker. You know, Joseph Parker a couple years ago was the up-and-coming thing. And then all of a sudden, what happened there, Zeke? He just seemed to fade into the blue.
Well, there's a reason for that. And simple as this, his competition got better. when your competition gets better, then the true you comes out. And sometimes, you know, that's Joseph Parker. As I said, the Anthony Joshua fight is that. I mean, that's a big title fight. He was bright lights. He's fighting a very, very large guy, and his style didn't gel toward that. To be honest. That happens to fighters, to boxers, really, especially when your styles don't like gel, and then, well, not even really, the telling fight for me with Joseph Parker was against Dillon Whyte. And he was boxing pretty good. He was winning the fight, and it seemed like Dillon was, you know, kind of tiring himself out, you know, chasing, swinging big at Parker. And Dillon made a slight adjustment in that fight. He started punching Parker hard to the body every time he got close to him. And that took the energy from Parker. It went from a, you know, I'm kind of tired to, you know what, if I'm tired, we're going to be tired. And Dillon Whyte literally laid those shots on him to kind of drain energy. That also made Parker nervous to me. And, I mean, you can tell when fighters are nervous. I'm pretty sure we could tell when fighters are nervous. You know, they do different things than they were successful at. You know, not adjustments. They're more defensive in what they do. And Joseph Parker started losing rounds. And he lost the fight against Dillon Whyte. And to me, that kind of told me that as far as, you know, he's built a certain way.
Right.
I mean, he's built a certain, and not saying, you know, he's you know, some guys are just built a certain way. And at the moment, Derek Chisora might be good medicine for him. Just because Derek Chisora is older, he's a plodding guy. He might be a bad dose of medicine because Derek Chisora is contact seeking by all means. And Joseph Parker is not. And he's not the biggest hitter at heavyweight. Understand, though, heavyweights, period, they can hit. You don't want to get hit by anyone, especially a heavyweight. But as far as heavyweight terms, he's not the hardest hitting guy. And that has a lot to do with him planning and really tossing his punches into it. He's more defensive minded. He's more, you know, trying to get the skill of the fight on. And some guys, you know, they're not respecting that. They're trying to go through that. And Derek Chisora is one of them. I could see Joseph Parker using his feet, being uncomfortable in at moments, but using his feet right now more or less steered Chisora.
All right. What about Jamel Herring? Let me ask you about that one while we're talking about this. He won't vacate his WBO belt to face Stevenson. I just don't understand that. Do you think?
I think that would be an interesting fight if they did fight. I would pick Stevenson, just because Stevenson has very, very good natural physical gifts.
You guys see. My bad. Sorry about that. Stuff going on around here. I just was the other one that has seemed to have faded out this year is David High, or Hay, rather. All of a sudden, you know, he was the biggest thing since sliced bread. Now he's just bread pudding. Can you help our listeners understand that?
Well, yeah, David Hay, yeah, he's been retired for a minute, but David Hay, I mean, if I'm correct, he's getting, who's he, promoting or managing? I think he's getting and promoting or managing.
Yeah, he is.
So, and I think he was with Tyson Fury, if I'm correct. So right now he has his hands in, you know, in things. Pretty sure talking to Eddie Hearn and
yeah, that's where I saw the. It was on last week on Ring Magazine. They had an article with him, and I just was wondering if you had one.
The best thing that happened for Eddie Hearn was Deontay Wilder losing that title because. Because as far as that goes, it would have been forever for him to fight Anthony Joshua. So, like right now, Deontay, you know, where is he at? That's a guy that I'm interested in seeing coming back. I mean, you know, but you don't know. You never know. I'm not calling his, you know, mental out. I don't know. Some guys, you know, after, you know, losing the fight, after seeming invincible, their mentality goes down a little bit. They're, you know, they get, maybe get down on themselves, or they may get angry, or they may just start from the drawing board from scratch and just work their way up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just want to see them again.
And, okay, so let's do a round table here. Tonight's fight, Chisora versus Parker. Z, your choice.
Parker by decision.
Parker, okay. Bob? Let me get back over here a minute.
Sorry, I was on mute. All right, so I'm going to go with the same thing as Z said, because I don't know enough about either one of them, and I trust Z.
I would go with Parker myself. All right, how about Andy Ruiz and Chris Areola?
Oh, it's going to be a fun fight.
My favorite fighter.
Oh, very well. I think I'm going to have to predict Areola to get knocked out. No pun intended.
Oh, wow. All right. Bob?
Well, I'm hoping he goes out there and just dances around Areola, plays with him for a while, plays with the Areola for a while. You know what I mean? Not go in there right away, but really dominate that circular ring motion for the win.
That's probably the most graphic I've ever heard on the show. Okay. I'm going to go with Ruiz myself. And what about KZ? How about Lara and LaMotta?
I mean,
yeah, don't go in the fast kid.
Yeah, right now nobody's as seasoned as Laura. He's probably the most seasoned veteran in the game. Just as far as veteran status, he's extremely seasoned. But that says he's still a veteran, and it comes a time when, you know, as a young guy, they're going to get you, or you're going to get got. And I don't know if LaMotta's that guy, but I mean, it could be. Is this going to keep getting more interesting and interesting as Laura fights on, so.
Okay. Bob?
Again, don't know too much about those guys, so I'm just going to go with with Z's call, you know. It's not as fun talking about dancing around the areola, you know. Clockwise.
Oh. All right. How about all right, well, let's put you on the spot this time. How about Dustin Jacoby finishing off, was it Qtoba? Man, I'm hell with these names. Qtoba?
Me too.
What's your thoughts on?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that one either. I apologize to all our fans. I don't have my notes with me. The class went wrong. Okay. So, I got nothing on that one.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Bob.
Go.
If you don't mind, I have a question for you, Bob. What do you think's next for Kamaru Usman?
Okay. Well, Usman, I'm seeing like the stuff online that like he's because he's got nowhere else to go really. You know what I mean? Sitting on top. So, you know, he could there could be a talk of John Jones coming back down. Say John Jones loses against Nagano or whatever. Then he's got to look for something. There's a money fight. You know, Usman's sitting on top again, going to float on top for a while they figure out the rest of the division. So he's talking, hey, can we get Khabib back? You know, that would, you know, he's already, you know, talking. That would be the greatest, you know, fight of all UFC history, you know, this and that. And, of course, Dana's going to run with anything that's going to make him money. So, again, Usman's sitting on top. They've got to figure out the rest of that division before anybody's even got a shot at him. So right now they're probably looking for him for a money grab. Maybe Jake Paul.
What would you say? Oh, my God. Not boxing. I would want Usman to grab him.
Yeah. It'd be fantastic.
Who would you favor in a who would you favor in an Usman Khabib fight?
Okay, so both amazing athletes. I would be, again, you know, Usman's got that incredible knockout power standing up, so Khabib would be dumb to stand there with him. And then the same thing, you know, Usman, I haven't really seen a lot of stuff of his on the ground. He doesn't need to go there. He's got great, you know, takedown defense. He's got great ground games, and, you know, and he does pretty well there. So I think that's where Khabib's got a chance. So who would I go for? That's a coin flip, really. I'm kind of still on the – I mean, I'm on both their trains. Neither one of them have – you know, ran their car into a pregnant lady or punched an old guy out in the bar. So, you know, I like both of them. But I kind of lean towards the Khabib just because to finish his 30-0, you know, going out on the 29. Yeah, so he could finish that for his legacy. But Usman, man, if he won, I'd be on that train too. Speaking about those faux pas and those guys, did you guys hear that Conor McGregor not only did we talked about last week, whatever, he bought the bar where he kicked that guy out, then 86'd him, right? So he can't go in that bar ever again.
Wow.
And then now he's selling the majority stock in his whatever it is, vodka, whiskey or whatever.
Yeah,
like
I heard that.
$600 million.
Yeah.
Damn it. I picked the wrong sport. You know what I mean? I should have been a golfer or a boxer.
Yeah, he made that deal Monday. I saw that $600 million deal. I didn't know about getting thrown out of the bar. But yeah, that's more.
Oh,
that's
good.
Yeah, I mean, because those are just addictive. You know, when you got that kind of money, you're going to buy the guy out. Like, come on. You know, at least go home with a lifetime supply of your whiskey. You know,
yeah.
$600 million. How hard is it to motivate yourself to fight when you have $600 million in your account?
Wow. Yeah. Already, like, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I tell you what, I can't name them by name, but I would tell you what, probably 90% of the UFC guys, if you offered them one time boxer money, they just take it, fight, and retire. You know what I mean? Like, they can fight their whole careers and not get that. If you don't get the sponsorship and stuff behind you and those money fights like McGregor and the other people pouring in, you know, your McGregor, your Rousey, your people on top, those are the ones that are creaming or you know, knocking the cream off the top. Everyone else is just, you know, fighting to get by. I mean, honestly, if I wouldn't have married my wife, I'd be probably broke, dead, and in a ditch, you know, needing surgeries. You know, her medical takes care of me. So the retirement plan for fighters isn't the best.
Yeah. Bob, where's the with the thing with Usman last week? What's that do with UFC 261 as far as Nick Diaz is concerned, or any of the other fighters?
So again, a lot of stuff's going on with that. So. Z said something earlier how Jorge Masvidal is kind of taking on the Diaz vibe. Well, yeah, he got the BMF title from Diaz, so he gets to, you know. When you're the BMF, you get to grin and drop your hands and play around. But, you know, with everybody else getting up, I mean, it's just a cluster right now. I'm figuring out who's going to fight who, because in each division right now, we've got some money grabbers, you know. I mean, that's like with that division right now. Or what am I thinking of? Poirier going versus McGregor versus instead of, you know, going against Gaethje, you know, and get Gaethje getting passed over, because you get all these money grab fights, and they're going to do
right.
it before they straighten out the divisions.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, see, let me ask you something. Oscar De La Hoya is training, they said, 5 times a day. He has, you know, he's supposedly in fantastic shape. He made this big announcement a couple of weeks ago that he was coming back into the ring. But as of this morning, there's still nobody taker. One, I guess the question is, do you think there will be? And two, what do you think their chances are?
Oh, man. Oscar De La Hoya. I don't know. I don't know about Oscar De La Hoya right now. I think it's just a publicity stunt. The last time I seen Oscar De La Hoya toss his fist kind of in a sort of serious motion was against Shaquille O'Neal. And that, as I say, and whatever it's going to be, I see it being akin to that. I see it just being a money grab publicity stunt. I don't see Oscar really training, really to do anything like Mike Tyson's doing.
Right. Well, now you brought Tyson up, what do you think about the, what's the guy from Atlanta, Levander?
Tyson
Holyfield.
Holyfield.
Yeah, what do you think of that fight?
Or not.
Oh, my goodness. I think that it won't be as exhibition. If they fight, it won't be as exhibitionist as him and Roy Jones. It'll be a bit more serious. With that said, I see Mike Tyson looking better just looking better than Evander Holyfield as far as right now fighting sharpness. I don't think I think he's lost his sharpness forever, Evander Holyfield, to where Mike Tyson, I think he lost his love of boxing for a while. Because with fighting, you have to want to go get it, and that takes a lot. Because you're taking yourself through punishment. I mean, the fight is the fight. That's, it could be whatever. But your training has to be as punishing as the fight every time for the most part. I mean, in some sort of way, your training has to break you down. And, just to get used to the conditions of the fight. And I see, Evander Holyfield, he has a love for boxing, but I don't think he has the reactions. I don't think I just think he's shot in the terms of just shot. I think Tyson is still sharp. I just think his thing was he just lost his luster. Boy, I just don't think it'd be good for Evander if it goes serious.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. I don't see Let's see. 2 years ago, our friend from Miami. Oh my God, the Road Warrior. Come on, Z, you can help me out.
Bare knuckle. No, Glenn Johnson. You talking about Glenn Johnson? Road Warrior, Glenn Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, that Glenn Johnson, he and Holyfield and two other boxers were going overseas and putting on events. And I guess they must have made enough money to come back over and retire again. But ever since then, I haven't seen his name doing anything, not even being anywhere as far as fighting was concerned. So, yeah, this should be interesting. I wonder if he's going to get in. This time he's going to wear earmuffs so that if Michael bites his ear again, he'll be get some earmuffs instead.
Mike's not going to need to. He's not going to need to bite any ears this time.
I don't know if everybody knows it, but since he's retired from boxing, he's the number one man in farming of medical marijuana.
Oh, wow.
He's making millions of dollars a year. Yeah. And I'm trying to think another boxer Benny's friend that we've had on many, many times. Geez. It's old. It's tough when you get old. Got to work those cobwebs off the ears.
Yeah, public
service announcement to all our fans. Not only are we old, but we have TBI, you know, all these concessions and stuff. So we're allowed, you know, a 3-second delay.
Yeah. Yeah, my problem is it works into 3 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Shoot. Well, guys, this was the fastest hour of the week. I enjoy every minute of it, and I appreciate everybody's input and all the good time that we have. Bob, again, thank the commander there for allowing us to have the time to spend with you, and we appreciate everything you do.
Thank you, guys.
Zeke, you want to lead us out, Zeke?
Absolutely. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bob. I want to thank you, Butch. These shows are definitely a memory of Bob, Dr. Chris, and Coach Mel. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call.
Sounds good. Thank you, Z. Thank you, all the fight fans. God bless everybody. Another great week. Sorry I was late. Again, trying to get that whole captain thing down.
Yeah.
Have a blessed week, everybody.
Okay. Take care, Bob.
Take care, Bob.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation. The men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services, and those wonderful people in the first line of defense against COVID, the doctors, the nurses, the first responders, and also the auxiliary people in the hospitals. We appreciate everything you do. These programs are dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kolkep, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogo, Long Loop Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Ronnie Bond, Delaware State Police, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FTD Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper, Corporal Stephen Boward, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highland County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, Officer Bob McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department, Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol, Sergeant Brian Levick, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Mike Malik, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would just take a moment to silence during the week, this is the anniversary, today is the anniversary of the loss of three good friends, Captain Chris Leach, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, and a girl who I helped coach at Howard High School, Lieutenant Ardeth Hope. All the Wilmington Fire Department all lost their lives today. That's now 4 years. So if you could just have a good thought during the week for them, we appreciate it.
Shem alek ma yilama Shem ha'ezahil ma Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig again Ma'el Ma Shem Alek Ma'el Ma Shem Ha'ezahil Ma Son fiery blade engaged to lead. He'd break the bravest in the field. Spirit and with mind aflame, saw ash and strength and length of days.
All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Bob, we love you and we miss you.